We're going to read quite a number of scriptures tonight. The first we shall find in the book of Exodus, chapter 13. The book of Exodus, chapter 13. And we shall commence reading at verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn at the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14 and verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire under the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Chapter 40 of the same book. The book of Exodus, chapter 40. And verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. And we shall read at verse 33. Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day? Back to the book of Numbers, and reading in chapter 9. Verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was alway. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, Then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord they rested in the tents, at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Chapter 10. And verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. And come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, then thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And he departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. One passage in the Psalms, Psalm 105, and verse 39. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. And our last reading is in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And reading in chapter 10. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And may the Lord bless this perhaps lengthy reading of his word, but necessary to our understanding of the message of God. Last week we had a comparative study. We sought to show the similarities that existed between the book of Exodus and the Gospel according to John, showing to us that the same divine hand that inspired Moses to give us the first 5 books of the Bible inspired the Apostle John to write his Gospel. Those similarities revealed the revelation of a divine person, the great I Am. And that revelation was seen to be in the one who came down from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The one who became flesh and pitched his tent amongst us. I want to think with you not so much in a comparative study of the Word of God tonight, but a particular one. Now, we sought to show last week that the 3 great metaphors that built up the book of Exodus was God in a bush, God in a cloud, and God in a tent. And around these 3 great factors, the book of Exodus is written. We sought to show that the same similarities exist in the Gospel according to John. But I thought tonight that perhaps in God's good guidance, we might have a look at the subject of the cloud as it is used in the Word of God in relation to the presence of God. Now, I haven't read all the scriptures either in the Old Testament or the New in which the word cloud occurs. That's superfluous to our subject. I want to draw your attention to the cloud as it's related to the nation of Israel as they pass through that great and terrible wilderness, leaving the land of Egypt and going toward the land of Canaan. We hear so little about this cloud. I don't think that, except in messages that we have had in the tabernacle, that I've listened to any message at all in my 55 years experience among the Lord's people, of a message dealing directly with this great phenomenon that appeared unasked and undeserved in the experience of this nation, in the most crucial moment of their existence as they were about to leave the land of Egypt. And here we have the great fact that this people are leaving the land of Egypt. God had intervened. God had provided salvation. And God had pledged his presence with them until they entered into the land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, while that is true that God had revealed himself as a savior, he's going to reveal himself as a leader. For we read in the Psalms, he led them on safely, so that they feared not. The presence of Jehovah, the presence of the Lord in their midst, was a sheet anchor for their soul amidst the many forces that would come against them in their passage towards the promised land. So he's revealed then as a guide, and we must remember that we too, having experienced the grace of God and salvation, having experienced deliverance from the bondage of our sin, delivered from the thraldom and dominion of Satan, who is the prince of this world, and after whom we walked according to the course of this world, we have been delivered from it in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are on a journey. And that journey is unknown to us. We know the destination of it, but we don't know the circumstances that are going to come our way as we pass through. Only assured that not one step of that way, but has been planned for us and directed by the hand that delivered us from the enemy. And this is true, of course, of the nation of Israel as well. Now, Satan and the world will not easily let us go once we have been delivered from and received the forgiveness of our sins. Satan knows that he cannot dispossess us of this salvation, but he can rob us of the peace of this salvation. By circumstances, by creating anxiety in our hearts and causing us to lose sight of the fact that the God who has delivered us is so remote that he is not interested personally in us. Now, these are thoughts that strike the heart of the believer in the very early days of his Christian life, and sometimes too in the later days of his Christian life. They had experienced then redemption by blood. Now these people were going to experience redemption by power. Could I say this at this moment? That the book of Exodus describes a people going down to Egypt. Jacob and all the patriarchs, they went down into Egypt. Going down. When we come to the book of Exodus, it's not going down, it's going out. Exodus means going out. And it was the going out of the people of Israel. The book of Leviticus is the book of the going in. Representatively in the high priest, with the names of the high priest upon the breast of that man, he went in, and representatively he carried the whole nation before him in the presence of God. And there we have the book of the going in. When we come to the book of the Numbers, it's the book of the going on. And there is detailed from us, chapter 21, the journeys of the children of Israel. That's most remarkable. And there we have detailed the very places that they visited. And when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, which they're going through. Now, if you keep these things in your mind, it will help you in your study of the Word of God. Genesis indicates the going down. Exodus is the going out. Leviticus is the going in. And the book of Numbers is the going on. and the book of Exodus, the book of Deuteronomy is the going through. Now, having said that, the great purpose of God was to bring this people unto himself, that they might be a people of his peculiar treasure. There might be unto him a peculiar people, a people from whom he would receive worship and receive honour, and above all he desired that they would have glory as well as bring glory to him. But they were embarking on an unknown path. Now it mattered not what they met or who they met, the great I Am had pledged that he would bring them through. Now into the hearts of these people there came the thought, we are not able, and God is not able, for we find them face to face with a great wall of water, and we find that there were mountains on either side, and they hear the rattle of the chariot wheels of Pharaoh behind them, and they are in a fix. What is God going to do? God is going to intervene in power. He had intervened by blood to deliver them out of the hand of the judgment that was going to pass through the land of Egypt. Now he's going to deliver them by power. You see, it's quite one thing in Christian experience to know what it is to be delivered by the blood. It's quite another thing to be and know the power of God in our lives when circumstances come. Going down to Manchester last year to take some meetings, I boarded the train in Glasgow and went along to the dining car and sat down. Another gentleman came alongside and sat beside me, drew out his newspaper and began reading. Across the passageway there was a nice girl sitting. She was reading a Christian book. And I just drew out my Bible and sat reading my Bible. I noticed a man looking over the side of his newspaper to see what this fellow was doing. And maybe about through mother, well, this girl looked over, she said, "Is that a Bible you're reading?" And I said, "Yes, it is. Do you know anything about it?" She says, "Yes, I love to read the Bible." Oh, I says, "That's nice." She says, "It's not often you see people reading Bibles in trains." Well, I said, "No, but this is what I'm doing now." She said, "Could I come over and sit beside you?" I said, "Well, if this gentleman just moves over to the other side, it'd be all right." "Oh, no," she said, "I'll come on the opposite side." So she sat on the opposite side. There was only two of us sitting in the seat. And I found that she was a Christian. She was associated with she came from the Isle of Skye, she was associated with the wee freeze, as she called them, and she said that she had been a Christian for quite a long while. And I said to her, "Well, you'll be under the blood then." And she said, "Yes, I am under the blood." I said, "Have you ever been under the water?" And she looked at me and she said, "Oh yes, I was christened," she said, "when I was a tiny tot." Well, I said, "You know, in the New Testament, it's only believers." I says, a little child of a few years can't believe. It's only believers that are baptized. And I turned her to so many scriptures in the New Testament to show that. I said, "You know, when you are saved, you're saved from the judgment of God like those children of Israel in the land of Egypt." She says, "I know that," she said. Now I says, "To know the guidance of God and the power of God in your life, you must come under the water. And coming under the water, you then come under the cloud." So, well, she said, "I never heard that before." I said, "Well," I turned her to these passages that we've been reading and sought to show the dear girl that while she had salvation, I said to her, "Do you think it would be right for the children of Israel to have remained under the blood in the land of Egypt and still under the lash of Pharaoh?" "No," she said, "that would have been an anomaly." I said, "Yes, it would." I said, "In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and and in the sea." I says, "That means they came under a new leadership. They had been under the tyranny and leadership of Pharaoh in the past. But now Moses was God's destined leader, and they came under the cloud because they came under the water." "Oh," she said, I'm afraid I'll have to get under the water. I says, I'm sure you will. And you'll never know the guidance of God in your life until first you have obeyed the word of the Lord. In his light, it says, we shall see light. It's he that willeth to do his will shall know all the doctrine. And you'll never know anything if you've got light about a matter and God demands obedience on that matter. I said, you'll never get any further light in your life until you take the next step. So 2 months afterwards, a lovely letter from the girl down in London, and she'd become friendly with a young man from Greenock who is in the assemblies there. And she said, I have got baptized. And she said, I'm seeking to follow the Lord. So I wrote a little letter to her and said, now, you'll wonder why we met on that train. And she said, she wrote back, she said, yes, your answer has confirmed it all. What I needed was what you said. And I drew a little simple illustration to her. And if there are any of us here tonight like this, the Lord help us to see this, what we need. I said, when the Lord Jesus came to the grave at Lazarus, I says, they looking on said, behold how they loved him. I says, they seen and had manifested to them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for the one who was lying in that tomb. But I says, love was not enough. I says, the Lord spoke the word of life. And I says, he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot. Now I said to the girl that day, how did you think that Lazarus came forth? Did he walk out? And she looked at me. He didn't walk out. He was bound hand and foot. So it was a double miracle. He brought that person out from that tomb. I says, by his mighty power, as he will do in the coming day. I said, the Lord stopped there, and he turned to his disciples and said, loose him and let him go. Take the napkin from his eyes and take the grave clothes off. I said, isn't that what I was doing in that train to you? I was taking the grave clothes off. I said, the Lord gives his love and he gives life. That's his prerogative. Nobody can take that from him. But he has delegated to those who minister the word and help the Lord's people to give liberty and light. And this is what I want to talk about tonight in relation to the cloud. I want to talk about the liberty of the children of God. I want to talk about the light that comes to us in the pathway of life once we are under the water and have come under the cloud. Now it's remarkable that the place to where they came was called Pi Hi Hireth, which means the opening of liberty. So you see the relevance of John 11 to this particular passage. They had died to the world. They had left the old kind of life, the place of death, the place of God's judgment, and they had come to enter into a new experience, not only of life, but of liberty. And not only of liberty, but of light. And this is the experience of the people of God. Pi Hi here. And that's what happened. God, by his mighty power, wrought salvation that day in the experience of that people. But at the same time, it was judgment to the Egyptians, because the Egyptians is saying to do, to pass through, were drowned. The judgment of God fell upon them. Now at that psychological moment in the experience of the nation of Israel, we read these words, and the angel of the Lord which went before them went behind and stood. He stood as the guardian and as the protector of his people. And when the Egyptians looked up to that cloud, it says it was darkness to them. But when Israel looked up to the cloud, it says it was light unto them. I wonder what side of the glory cloud we are in our experience tonight. Having come out under the blood and found ourselves under the water and now under the cloud, are we looking up to find that that cloud is light and glory? For we are children of the light. And we're going to walk in the pathway of light. For this cloud never departed from the day they left the land of Egypt until they landed into the promised land of Canaan. It never failed. By day and by night, the unfailing presence of God was marked by the presence of that cloud hovering over that great camp of people. We saw it last week, not only starting to move and rise, but stopping for long and short periods, of which we shall speak of in a moment or two. I believe that this cloud is a figure of the grace of God. It's a figure of the guidance of God. And it's a figure of the glory of God. It's a wonderful type to me of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the present leader and guide of his people. Jehovah is looked at in the book of Exodus as a shepherd. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, the Lord Jesus said, he goeth before them. He never asks any one of us for to go where he has never been before himself. He has pledged his presence and he has pledged his power and his support for every step of the way. And so you will be sure that whatever the circumstances of life that we are led into, the great shepherd of the sheep is there. And this is true of the nation of Israel. God is seen as the shepherd character. The 80th Psalm tells us that, depicting this deliverance of the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The great shepherd of the sheep is seen there. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. That was the cry of the 80th Psalm. The experience of a man who wanted the presence of God to be a reality in his life. So the pillar cloud is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. A pillar and a cloud. A union of something that seems to be weak and something that seems to be infinitely strong. And that was true of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the human nature apart from sin. All the weaknesses that are associated with it. He could be weary with the journey. He could thirst by the well and so on. All characteristic of humanity apart from sin. But he was still the mighty power of God. He was God manifest in flesh. And so I suggest to you that in the pillar cloud we have a wonderful picture of him who said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now when we come to the children of Israel, we find that they looked and they saw the Egyptians being overwhelmed by the waters of the Red Sea. What do we find? God caused a strong east wind to blow, and the walls of those waters collapsed. And what became the pathway of safety and deliverance for the nation of Israel became the graveyard of the Egyptian host. That strong east wind didn't do anything to the cloud. It remained immovable. And nothing can shake salvation's column. All the powers of hell combined make an assault on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he remains unchangeably the same. Let us take courage from that fact tonight. The unchanging character of the one who has called us into this pathway of salvation. It says he spread the cloud for a covering to give them light in the night. I like this people. I like this passage from Psalm 105 because it reveals to me this great fact that no matter what the circumstances might be, God had the interest of his people at heart. Now why did he not take them straight through 11 days' journey? That was all the distance from Migdol and Succoth on the edge of the wilderness right to the river Jordan and to Jericho. Just 11 days. Why did it take 40 years? Because God didn't take them by the way of the Philistines. God took them by the way of the wilderness to teach them. Teach them two things. Teach them what was in their heart. And teach them what God was in their experience. You read the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy gives us the innermost heart of the eternal God as he reveals himself to them. He brought them out that he might bring them in. But he, on that way in, he wanted to teach them certain great facts about themselves. How that he would humble them in the wilderness. How they would learn the waywardness of their own heart. How that they say, let us have a captain and let us go back to Egypt. We remember the leek, the onion, the garlic. We ate there. The things that we enjoyed there. There's no restrictions there, but now here there are restrictions. And there are restrictions in the Christian life. But those restrictions are for the glory of God and for your blessing and our good. So it was the symbol of the divine protection. I read a passage in the book of Nehemiah where Nehemiah's going over the history of the nation of Israel. And he says, he took not away the cloud by day nor the fire by night. What is he talking about? He was talking about the day when they were murmuring in their tents. You know, murmuring is a sin. And these people had to learn that murmuring is a sin. You know, groaning is not a sin. You can groan as much as you like. But murmuring is a sin. God permits us to groan, but he doesn't permit us to murmur. They murmured in their tents, and the judgment of God came upon them. Now, what does it mean to be under the cloud? It means, first of all, that they have food for the journey. Where did the manna fall? The manna fell under the cloud. He rained down bread from heaven. You know, it was very difficult for those Israelites as they passed through to have the same kind of food they thought every day of their life. What were they doing? They were saying to God, we want variety. And they had variety and didn't know it. You know, there are some people and they say, well, it's only the Bible. Well, there's infinite variety in the Bible. For every phase of human experience, this word meets our every need. And the manna met the need of that people for 40. It never failed. Morning by morning, the 6 days of the week, the double portion on the 6th day, and kept those people all the way. And they said, our soul loatheth this light bread. How sad it is when the people of God find a distaste for the word of God. After experiencing the power of God, and assured of the ever constant presence of God in the cloud above them, these people rejected the bread from heaven. Give us flesh to eat. Well, they cried for a long while, and then the patience of God was expressed in this, well, you'll have it. You'll get what you want. It says he sent them the desire of their heart, but he gave leanness to their soul. And it's possible for us to want something that God doesn't want for us as the people of God. Something that's outside the cloud. The quails didn't come under the cloud. The quails were out in the desert. They had to go out and get them there. And when they ate of that flesh, it stank in their teeth. It wasn't good when they partook of it. And so we find that under the cloud, the manna fell. Why do you think of this protection? Because under the cloud, there was a great lesson of patience to be learned, as well as preservation. It might be on the journey they came to quite a good location in the wilderness. You know, it wasn't all sand. Not by the way the Lord took them. There was no way through. There was no tar macadam road there. He knows the way through the wilderness, we often sing. And he says, he shall direct your path. And so we find that they were saying, this is a very convenient place for us. We'll just stay here. And they settled down in their tents. And in the morning, they looked out of the tent flap and they saw the cloud rising. And they said, imagine just we're here 2 days and we've got to move again. You know, one of the greatest experiences that a child of God has in his life is to be uprooted. We don't like it. We think we should stay here. This is what Jeremiah says. Moab has settled in her lees. She doesn't know anything about being emptied from vessel to vessel. And we say, why does suffering come to the child of God? Why does a man lose his wife in the air of life? Why does he lose his money? Why does he lose his job? Why does he lose his health? And we begin to question God at the upheaval that's come in our life, forgetting that everything is under the hand of the sovereign of the universe. He knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. We can only see on the low horizon of the human level. And we begin to judge the Almighty and his movements. Well, they might have waited 2 days. They might have waited a week. They might have settled down for a year, and here they get bogged down, we'll say, for a full year, and then the cloud rose up. Until one day, Moses, great man of God that he was, made one of the greatest mistakes in his life. A mistake that we often make. He said to his brother-in-law one day, Hobab, you come with us, and the Lord will do you good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And that was all right. But he says, thou shalt be as eyes unto us to search us out a place in the wilderness to rest. What was Moses doing? Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was bringing Egyptian wisdom into human into divine direction. He sought the aid of Midian. True, Midian was related in flesh and blood to the nation of Israel. How often we go to human sources of wisdom to find a way out for a spiritual problem. Human wisdom can never direct us through the desert, beloved saints of God. We can never go to the founts of human wisdom, to Socrates, to Plato, to Aristotle, or to any of the great men of the world, to the worldly wiseacres. We can't find a solution to the problem of our spiritual life in their writings. That's the wisdom of the world. And that's what Moses did. He turned back to the wisdom of Egypt, to employ the wisdom of Egypt. What happened? He says, the clouds rose and went 3 days' journey. God would not have any of his people be directed into the experience of associating themselves with a wisdom that has been set aside. God had set aside the wisdom of Egypt in the field of Zoan. The centers of Egypt were taught wisdom there. God said, I'm going to deliver a people, but it'll not be something that has come out of the minds of men. It's something that originated in my heart alone. And they said, it's an impossibility for you to take this people out. But God's wisdom was seen in that deliverance. All the might and power of Egypt could not keep that people out. Is that not what the apostle's telling us in the Corinthian epistle? Zoan. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan. What is Hebron? Hebron's fellowship. The fellowship of God antedates Zoan. Zoan is the place where Israel departed out of the land of Egypt to go on their journey. It was the seat of the universities of the land. The wisdom of Egypt was concentrated in the field of Zoan, and God destroyed it. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and God destroyed it that day. Let us not go back to the world or the world's ways to seek a pathway for our Christian experience. We shall only end up in folly. The next thing I want to notice about the cloud, and I see the time is almost gone, God spoke from that cloud. The voice of God was heard from that cloud. What was God saying? He was saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now when the children of Israel were going to go on their journey, there was a trumpet sounded by the priest. When that priest saw the cloud rising, he sounded a trumpet. And the whole of Israel struck camp. And they had to get everything to gather together. Perhaps their baggage was pretty light, we don't know. But they came out of Egypt with great treasure. But there they went on their journey, directed by the hand of God. At the command of the Lord they journeyed, at the command of the Lord they rested, at the command of the Lord they kept the charge. These were three things that they were told to do according to Numbers chapter 9. Now that word commandment is the word that's everywhere else translated in the Hebrew mouth, at the mouth of the Lord, at the voice of the Lord. They started their journey. At the voice of the Lord, they stopped their journey. And at the voice of the Lord, they kept the charge of the Lord. Well, time has gone, and we've only just scratched the surface of this tremendous subject of the cloud. But we hope that what we have said might have been an encouragement and a help to each one of us tonight to realize that the divine presence was never withdrawn in all their journeys. God brought them safely through. Egypt said, he has brought them out, but he's not able to bring them in. But God's wisdom is seen in that he did bring them in after he had taught them the way of the Lord most perfectly. Shall we pray? Lord, remember thy word. We thank thee for thy pledged presence to our soul. We could not take one step without thy aid. All would be darkness. To run on before thee is to encounter the enemy without thy power. To lag behind thy call is to disobey thy word. Help us, O God, to have obedient hearts, to live in the light of thy presence, to know the movements of the cloud, to keep within thy love in our journeying here below, and our God and Father to keep the charge of the Lord. to praise thee for having brought us under the blood and secured our eternal redemption, for having given to us the grace to come under the water and obey thy word and be baptized unto a new leader, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And our God, to say with the poet, lead on triumphantly. Thou blessed Lord, lead on, face pilgrim sons behind thee seek the road that thou hast gone. Let thy blessing be upon our homes. Thou knowest the circumstances with which thy dear people are surrounded. We pray for grace to witness, grace to live, and grace to glorify. And for this little assembly, we commit it to thee, and those who care for it, grant our God that divine wisdom and grace from on high might be to them as shepherds in leading the flock of God. Let thy blessing of peace come upon us now and forevermore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.